It's been just over a week since an ICE agent fatally shot 37-year-old Renee Good in Minneapolis, setting off large protests in the Twin Cities and nationwide. Since then, the presence of immigration enforcement officials has only grown, leaving Minnesota communities on edge. Special correspondent Fred DeSam-Lazaro begins our coverage with this report.
The images are now familiar across the Twin Cities. Federal agents making a stop. Observers rushing to the scene with whistles and car horns. Scuffles breaking out with agents deploying pepper spray or tear gas. And an endless standoff between protesters and officers at the federal building which serves as a base for the immigration crackdown here.
It's unconscionable to not stand up and say this is wrong. This is part of democracy.
In recent days, hundreds of additional agents have been sent to Minnesota, on top of the roughly 2,000 already on the ground. That's more than the size of the Minneapolis and St. Paul police departments combined. In a statement to the NewsHour, the Department of Homeland Security says it's made over 2,000 arrests throughout its largest operation in history, adding, quote, "This is just the tip of the iceberg." Meanwhile, in a Truth Social post today, President Trump said he's cutting off federal funds to so-called sanctuary states. That's after saying on Tuesday, quote, "Fear not, great people of Minnesota. The day of reckoning and retribution is coming." Fears have risen steadily in Minneapolis and St. Paul since Renee Good's killing. Business at many local immigrant-owned shops has plummeted in recent weeks, down in some areas at least 80%, according to one report. DHS told the NewsHour, quote, "Removing dangerous criminals from our streets makes it safer for everyone, including business owners and their customers." At the Park Avenue Church, just steps from where Good was shot, the tension is palpable.
"We gather today with heavy hearts."
Jennifer Ikoma Muchko is a pastor at the more than 100-year-old church. Her grandmother was one of more than 120,000 Japanese Americans interned during World War II.
"My legacy is to call people of all different backgrounds to fight now for who are the marginalized, who is being targeted right now."
Just as I asked Ikoma Muchko about what comes next, we were interrupted by the sounds of car horns and whistles outside. Agents were raiding a house across the street from the church, and a crowd had gathered. When officers emerged with two handcuffed young men, tempers flared. Agents fought with observers. They deployed pepper spray, tear gas, and flashbangs as Ikoma Muchko watched nearby. At one point, a woman tried to drive past the scene. Authorities smashed her window, dragged her from the car, and detained her. She shouted that she was on her way to a doctor's appointment. The episode lasted more than 45 minutes, and when it was over, local resident Will Vermey was gone. His wife, Heather Maines, believed he was one of the first people arrested.
"I'm worried about Will, but I know he'll be fine. He's a citizen. For the folks who don't have those privileges, I can't even imagine what they feel in this situation."
Vermey was released after about 8 hours at the federal building without being charged, bruised, but otherwise all right.
"They were asking people to move back. I guess I wasn't quick enough for them. It didn't appear to be a well-run operation inside the building. We were walking through and the agents that were escorting me didn't actually have the ability to get into the detention area. They had to wait for someone to let them in."
DHS said agents ultimately detained four, quote, "illegal aliens who now face removal proceedings." It said the crowd impeded operations and that the woman in her car ignored multiple commands by an officer to move her vehicle and was arrested for obstruction. In all, six, quote, "agitators" were taken into custody for assaulting law enforcement. PBS News' Liz Landers asked White House Border Czar Tom Homan about the incident.
"There are Americans who see this and say this looks like Putin's Russia. What is your response to that?"
"You know, if they let us in their damn jail and stop being a sanctuary city, we could arrest the bad guy in the safety and security of a jail. But because they normally release them, now we got to go in the community and find them. Then they're mad we're in the community.
Were you surprised at what unfolded right outside your church?
It was a battle scene. I had this moment where I didn't bring my cell phone, and I just lifted up what I had, and I lifted up my hand. And I looked over, and I saw a neighbor I didn't know lifting up the middle finger. There was protesting, there's observing, and there was prayer, and all is going to be needed.
But now, as the crackdown widens, many Twin Cities residents, including U.S. citizens, fear they could be targeted.
I was going this way.
Like Nimco Omar, who was surrounded by at least three federal agents on a sidewalk Sunday.
I was like, what is happening? What did I do? Because at the first, I wasn't thinking ICE. I was able to take out my phone because in kids, you know, they kidnapped me. So, you know, later on there was, you know, something at least. So that's why I recorded.
All right, can we see an ID, please?
I am U.S. citizen. I don't need to carry around an ID in my home.
Well,
this
where
is
were
my
you,
home.
Where were you born?
This is my home.
Where were you born?
Minneapolis is my home.
The agents ultimately left after one of them took a picture of Omar, seemingly checking it against a government database.
This is my home. This is where I belong. In a quiet Minneapolis neighborhood, I should not be seeing, you know, a soldier walking and asking me to give him an identification.
DHS told the NewsHour, quote, those who are not here illegally and are not breaking other laws have nothing to fear. But after agents left Omar on Sunday, she said she was shaking and began to cry. The shock has stuck with her.
This morning when I left my house, I was like, am I going to see ICE? I don't know. Are they going to arrest me? I don't know. And that's what, you know, the entire Somali community and community of color feeling now.
For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSamlazaro in Minneapolis.
And Fred's reporting is a partnership with the Undertold Stories Project at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota.